Let us pray. God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, open us to your word, that we would hear what you would say to us today, through Jesus Christ, who invites us to welcome him in, even before we are ready or worthy. Amen. In these early verses from Isaiah, the prophet brings a message that our lives beyond the sanctuary should match what we pray and sing inside it. Reading from Isaiah 1, verses 1 and 10 to 18, listen for God's word. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. So ends the reading. With today's reading from Luke, the end of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem draws close. Just before arriving in Jerusalem, Jesus passes through Jericho and once again seeks out the lost. From Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we just heard Elaine beautifully read a story about a guy who was, among other things, short, or shall we say vertically challenged. And the problem with being small of stature, as they say, especially in a crowd, is that you can't see what's going on. You can't be seen. Which actually, a poor, rich little dude named Zacchaeus didn't mind, usually, because when people did notice him, they tended to cross the street. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector of Jericho, and nobody likes the tax man. In fact, most folks steered clear of him until that day when things changed rapidly, radically. That day that Jesus came to town. Now, Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus, about how he had made a blind man see, and how people were bringing their children to him for his blessing, how Jesus was getting some people really riled up, talking about how God had anointed him to bring good news to the poor and to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to the oppressed. He was causing quite a stir, this prophet of the day. So when Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming to Jericho, he wanted to get a look at the guy. He couldn't have told you why at the time, why he felt the need to seek Jesus out. But soon, from the noise and the crowd, he realized Jesus was right there on his street. But Zacchaeus couldn't see him. He couldn't see anyone or anything, really, except people's backs and the backs of their heads. So he ran ahead and climbed a tree. Ridiculous. Because, come on, he was an important official, and it was hardly dignified for any man, especially a government agent, to go running like a schoolboy. And it certainly wasn't dignified to go hiking up his robe and clambering up a tree. People laughed at him when they saw that he was making such a fool of himself. Well, he didn't have many friends, and he was used to being scorned, and he didn't care. All he wanted was to see this Jesus person before he passed him by. He probably didn't expect Jesus to see him. And Zacchaeus was pretty well hidden behind all that foliage. And anyway, why would Jesus be looking up in the treetops when he had so many folks gathered around him on the ground? But look up, he did. See Zacchaeus, he did. At first, rich little Zacchaeus wasn't too happy about that. I mean, as you've gathered, he wasn't the most popular guy in Jericho. Truth is, most people hated him, even if they really didn't know him. He was chief tax collector. He worked for the Romans, which didn't exactly make him a local hero. A lot of folks thought it made him unclean, dealing with Gentile bosses, going in and out of all sorts of houses, inspecting all sorts of goods. Who knows what he might have touched, who he might have come in contact with. Most people, not without cause, just assumed that tax collectors lined their own pockets at the expense of the people, assumed Zacchaeus got rich by cheating folks. And Zacchaeus was good at his job. He was rich. And he'd heard what Jesus thought about rich people, that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Oh, so he was nervous when he realized Jesus was looking up at him through the leaves. But he soon forgot to be nervous. For one thing, Jesus was laughing. Oh, not at Zacchaeus the way other people did. And Zacchaeus realized it was pretty funny. Him up in the tree peering down at Jesus. Jesus on the ground peering up at him. And Jesus called him by name. How on earth did he know his name? Well, maybe he'd ask someone, "Who's that little guy up in the tree?" But if they told him, "Oh, that's Zacchaeus, the head tax collector and a big fat sinner," well, apparently Jesus didn't pay attention. So there was Zacchaeus up in that tree, and there was Jesus shouting out for everyone to hear, Zacchaeus, hurry up and get down from there, for I have got to stay at your house today. Well, that startled poor Zacchaeus so much he practically fell off his perch. As it was, he scrambled down so fast he lost his footing and fell in a heap at Jesus' feet. And Jesus laughed again, but still not in a mean way, more like a big brother whose younger sibling had done something silly. His laugh was so affectionate. And he helped Zacchaeus off and dusted him off, and if Zacchaeus felt embarrassed, he didn't show it. And as they began to walk towards the tax collector's house, Zacchaeus, filled with joy that Jesus had called him by name, filled with joy that Jesus was going to his house, Zacchaeus didn't even stop to think what his wife would say when he arrived with an important and unexpected guest and his entourage. He was so happy, he was practically dancing down the road. But as they passed through the crowd, he could hear folks grumbling and whispering, muttering things like, "That man's a sinner. That man's a crook. He cheats his own people. He's unclean. Jesus shouldn't go to his house." They were practically on the doorstep when it was as if Zacchaeus couldn't let Jesus go one more stop without letting him know. Letting him know how much it meant to him that he'd called him by name, that he'd sought him out, him, the little shrimp of a tax collector who everyone avoided and badmouthed, who everyone hated. Because Zacchaeus realized he was rich, filthy rich. He had way more than he needed, way more than his family needed. And maybe it was true he'd never cheated anyone himself, never meant to anyway. But Zach was the head guy. And maybe he turned a blind eye when one of his employees came back with a little more than he should have, or a lot more, and gave him a cut. Maybe that had happened more than once. And Zach thought, maybe he'd been so angry at being called names because he was short, because he worked for the Romans, though God knows he was grateful for the job. Maybe he'd come to think that it was only right, only what was due to him, to take just a little more than was owed, to add bit by bit to his riches, because that made him powerful. And if he couldn't make people like him, at least they'd be afraid of him. At least he'd feel safe from their name-calling and ridicule. And Zacchaeus, he stood there looking at Jesus at the entryway to his house, and he thought, enough. Enough. And he said, "Look, see, half of what I own, Lord, I'll give to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone of anything," and suddenly he was pretty sure that he had, "then I pay them back four times what I owe." That's what he said. And apparently that's what he did. And Jesus, he looked at Zacchaeus and he laughed again, laughed with joy. And he said, "Today, salvation has come to this house." And he looked at the crowd of people who'd followed them, and he said, "Because he is a son of Abraham, he is one of you. He is your brother." And Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." And into the house they went. And somehow Zach's wife managed to feed them all, and somehow enough was as good as a feast, and what a party they had. How they laughed together. You know, I'd like to think that this is a story about stewardship, financial giving, because at some point we're going to have to get our act together and send out pledge cards and all that. But you know, I don't think it is about stewardship. I think the story is really about Jesus saying the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost. And it's about this despised, angry, hurt little man who thought he was seeking Jesus, though it turned out Jesus was seeking him and found him and called him by name. And it's counterintuitive, really, to feel sorry for this despised tax collector. I mean, everyone loves to hate a rich guy. Like, well, I can think of a self-proclaimed rich guy, one in particular, or like Zacchaeus, whose name means pure, by the way, and who seemed anything but a guy caught up in an unjust system that he didn't even have to notice because he benefited from it so much. Until Jesus called him out, called him by name, and he responded with joy and generosity and actually with justice. For Zacchaeus wasn't so much giving away as giving back what wasn't really his. It was reparation more than philanthropy. Whatever it was, it made Zacchaeus rich indeed. Still, it's one thing to applaud Jesus for seeking out the obviously untouchable, the dispossessed and oppressed, the needy, the outcast. It's another thing to watch Jesus seek out this wealthy agent of the powers that be. Until we acknowledge how rich we are, how comfortable we are compared to most people on this planet, how complicit we are in systems and circumstances beyond our making or control, but which we benefit from nonetheless. Beneficiaries, some of us, of white privilege. Beneficiaries, some of male privilege or straight privilege. Some of us of more than one unearned, unjust privilege. But there's hope even for us when we change our perspective and acknowledge our complicity. Zacchaeus also makes us think about all the people who aren't so easy to see, who get lost in a crowd, who feel they don't belong. Other people, whoever they are, whoever you are, whatever you've done, no matter how small you are or how small you've been made to feel, other people who are seeking Jesus, even if they can't say why, or not seeking Jesus because, oh, they're doing just fine, thank you very much, it doesn't mean Jesus is not looking out for them, for us, for you. You know, maybe the best thing about this little Zacchaeus guy, it's his eagerness to seek Jesus, his willingness to be a fool for Christ. We know what happened to Zacchaeus when he eagerly sought to see Jesus, only to find that Jesus was eagerly seeking him. Maybe we should be more willing to throw caution and dignity to the wind and just climb the nearest tree, or climb down from our lofty perches of privilege. Either way, who knows what or who we'll see when we change our perspective and look around us and see, really see, who is calling to us and who our sisters and brothers are. To God alone be the glory. Amen.